We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome, RotoGrinders NBA Morning Grind. We're here to close out the work week up late on a Thursday night or early on a Friday morning, however you want to call it. Dre and I are here past midnight. What's going on, Drizzy? How's it going, man?
Everything's going pretty good over here. Weird one today, especially with the games being at 10 o'clock, so you get kind of the lineups a little bit after lock, but hey, it's the NBA. Also, it's a new day and era with the way things are nowadays. So, yeah, let's just, I guess, get ready to break it down, hopefully.
Yeah, a shotgun start at 10 o'clock Eastern is some weird stuff from the NBA. But I guess the NFL football reigns supreme, and they globbed a bunch of games together to start when the NFL game was winding down. By the way, a big win for the Titans, Aaron Rodgers with loss number 7. I cannot wait to talk to Will Priester on Food for Thought, because I don't know if you know this about Chief, but he's not a fan of Aaron Rodgers, but I think you know that.
Yep, definitely know that for sure. So that's going to be an interesting conversation too, because I don't know why, like, that line was just weird all day for everyone being on, for a lot of money being on the Green Bay, but I definitely like Tennessee, and I'm glad that your team got the win this evening. I just wish some of my parlays would have hit, though. But
part of the story. And me both. Anyway, we're here to talk NBA basketball. 11 games on a Friday. Hope you don't plan on doing anything in your social life, because there's a lot of news and you might be sitting on your phone for a while. So if you're bringing your girl to a movie, you might want to take a couple of bathroom breaks or get some extra popcorn or whatever you're doing, because there's a lot of questionable tags, Dre. So we're going to try to sift through this nonsense here late on the East Coast on Thursday night. And there's one game at 7 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock slate. And we only have one game to start things off. But that game is Miami and Washington. Bam is questionable. Tyler Hero is out. Victor Oladipo is out. Caleb Martin questionable. Dwayne Dedmon questionable. A bunch of garbage, but the good news is we should probably get this news. I'm 99% sure we'll figure out the Heat game before rosters lock at 7. So Jimmy Butler disappointed against Toronto. He only took 8 shots, but if Bam doesn't play, you probably have to like Jimmy Butler again on Friday.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Jimmy Butler would definitely become a priority on the slate on both sides, just from the standpoint of the situation in Miami, because he'd be the primary ball handler. So he would be someone I would definitely want to target a lot of. And also a guy like Nikola Jovic. Yeah, not Jokic, but Jovic. He actually played a good amount of minutes on Wednesday, I believe it was. Yeah, Wednesday he played a good amount of minutes. And his price went up a little bit, but nothing crazy where he can't pay off. So it was good to see him play 23 minutes in the game against Toronto. So I think you could see him possibly play a little bit more here, be used on the floor to even anyway, even if Bam is not playing, I mean, maybe possibly if even Bam is playing, to guard a guy like Porzingis here on the side, on the slate. But Jimmy would be the main priority for this team, and Jovic as a salary saver.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how much they would actually play him if Bam and Dedmon are both out. Big if. They're both questionable. And if Jovic would get into foul trouble or something like that, how small would Miami have to play is a story for another time. I guess Jamal Cain might get some run. Definitely need to keep up on this Miami news. Caleb Martin played mega minutes, 38 minutes. He's 4,900. He'll probably pop in models without Hero, and especially if Bam is missing from that rotation too. But Gabe Vincent also played a ton. He's 4,600 as well. So some value options for Miami. What are your thoughts on those value guys? And then let's talk about the Wizards for a bit.
Sorry. I think those guys are perfectly fine in tournaments as like last piece fillers if you need it. I don't want to lock up myself with these value guys that early on a slate. That's the only thing that I'll be concerned with. But they're all perfectly fine to have in your player pool tomorrow. But with a lot of news that we're probably going to be getting tomorrow on some things and some other positions, we might even see a little bit more value that might be in a little bit better positions. But something just to pay attention to for sure.
It's still kind of weird seeing Bradley Beal at 8,200 on DK. He hasn't been really good this season, you know, with Porzingis actually playing real minutes and Kyle Kuzma in the fold. I guess the usage kind of gets split up between the three of them. He had a nice little game last time out. You know, he has 6x value upside. He's going to play 35-plus minutes. Any interest in any of these guys for tournaments on Washington?
Only person I really might have interest in a little bit is would be possibly like maybe Porzingis, especially if that front line is going to be out. They're going to be small and weak without Bam Adebayo. I think that Porzingis would be the only guy, which is with the price point, even on FanDuel at 8,600. He has the upside. Beal's been taking more of a step back, in my opinion, from what just watching the games and seeing, because I think he has help now. So I think he likes that. But Beal is still Beal. As you can see, last game against OKC, he put up 25-6-6. But if he starts giving you games like that at 8-2, then you have to consider rostering him. But he hasn't looked like the same Bradley Beal of previous seasons, but I think also he's adjusted to having a lot more help.
I can never really tell if he actually wants to be in DC. Like, what's his deal? He's been in trade rumors since he's been in the league pretty much.
I mean, he definitely has been, but just from him signing that new deal, I mean, it's just, it, to me, it was sort of a vote of confidence he wants to be in DC, but you never know these days. People just want the money and might just do it for that and then get out after a year.
This is just a blah game. Let me see here. Miami and Washington are 26th and 27th in pace. So it's going to be tough for any of those three guys to break the slate on an 11-gamer, I think.
Yeah, completely agree. They would just be more priority if, like I said, these other guys end up being out because the usage would be out. So targeting more so the main guys would be the way to go.
Let's go on to one of the 7:30 games. We'll go to Charlotte and Cleveland. Jared Allen is questionable, which opens the door for Evan Mobley, maybe a little bit of Kevin Love. Donovan Mitchell is 9,100 on DK, and Darius Garland up to 9K. Darius Garland's been hooping. Of course, it's tough to play these guys when they're both healthy and priced up. However, it is Charlotte, so there is always a chance for someone here to come down with the ceiling game. Evan Mobley's up to 6,400. I'm still kind of interested in him if Jared Allen's out. Don't really love the price on him. He hasn't really had any monster games here, but I don't mind taking some large field dart throws with Mitchell or Garland and just maybe setting a build rule with 0-1 if I'm multi-entering between those two guys.
Yeah, definitely. That was going to be what I was going to say, too, because if I'm playing Mitchell or Garland here in this spot, I want to definitely run it back with someone from Charlotte. And at that point, it'd just be them individually. I'm not going to play them, but never play them both in the same lineup. But I really would like to more so target the front court. So that Jared Allen news, I think, is very, very, very important. On FanDuel, Kevin Love's price went down a little bit. So at 4,900, he would be of great interest since, you know, you want to attack the way to attack Charlotte is through the bigs. So he would be someone I want to try to get into my lineups a lot more, as well as with Evan Mobley, even with Mitchell and Garland back, because Kevin Love at that point might move into the starting lineup, or he might just come off the bench still and have a lot of more usage. So he would be like the main focal point, but then I would just try to get like Garland or Donovan Mitchell, but like you said, by themselves, and then at that point I'm having a run back.
Yeah, tough matchup for Charlotte. Gordon Hayward and Dennis Smith are doubtful. Even though it's a slow, tough defensive Cavaliers team, Terry Rozier and Kelly Oubre both have massive upside. If one of them can shoot Charlotte into the game, I think it's worth keeping Rozier and Oubre in your player pool. PJ Washington, he's going to play a ton of minutes. 5,700. We have some good prices on PJ. On basically all these guys, even Plumlee. It's just kind of a rough matchup. So I would watch how many Charlotte players I'm going to have on the team. But I think I'm definitely keeping these guys in the player pool, and their ownership will probably be in check. On an 11-gamer and, slow little game, I don't think we'll see anything crazy on Rozier. What are your thoughts here? I can't pretend to be the ownership god, though, so I really don't know.
Yeah, without LaMelo, Terry would be the main priority, definitely. So I could definitely see him being probably like 20%, maybe a little bit more. Tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised. 7-7 is an interesting business. I think it's a fair price to pay for him on the site like FanDuel. And on DK, what is his price on DK?
79.
Yeah, 79 on DK is still fair, I think, in my opinion. As long as you're running it back, because that way you expect that stealing that upside game from him. And you expect it going back and forth with one of these guys on the other side. So I definitely don't mind that at all. He would just be only this game to me is like a game stack or like nothing in a way, unless you're taking Kevin Love out of there because he's so cheap and you can use that as like a salary saver filler. So other than that, that's really it from this game. And I'm not going to be looking outside of the, like you said, the big name players. I don't even mind. I like PJ Washington, but his price has come to a point where I'm going to have to expect him to get 40. Or 45 fantasy points. It's because I think that's what you're going to need from probably every position on this slate tonight. And I know he has that upside, but how often is he going to do it against a front court like Cleveland?
Yeah, don't look now, but Theo Maledon's played 20-plus minutes in his last three games, and Boakright hasn't been seeing much burn. So now without LaMelo Ball in the fold, and LaMelo played the last couple of games, maybe Maledon's a sneaky little value play here. And who knows, he might even get blowout run at the end on top of being in the rotation a little bit here. So definitely a name to watch, I think, is Maledon, the former Oklahoma City Thunder legend.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I was going to bring him up a little bit. I think he can see – he's been playing, 21, 24 minutes the last two games. I would say probably around that 20, 24 – maybe even 28-minute mark, so I like him.
Let's take the gloves off and talk Bucks Sixers. We got Giannis, who hasn't been fantastic, and to his standard anyway, he's like the best fantasy point producer on the planet outside of Luka. But he also hasn't played close to 40 minutes in forever either. So a bad game for Giannis is 43.5 DK points in 32 minutes kind of thing, right? But different story when it's Giannis, Embiid, and if this game's close, I could see Giannis pushing, 38, 39 minutes. Maybe he'll have that game. As for Embiid, look at that game log. There's 100 burger on it, man. What a freaking performance he's coming off of. And before that, a measly 71.5 DK points. So, wow. Gets a little bit of a tough test with Brooke Lopez, but the usage, this is the usage we expected to see from Embiid without James Harden. We're not expecting 100-point DK points, DK games every night out there, but it took a while for Embiid to get his legs under him this season, but the process is here, and he is hooping right now, Dre.
Yes, he is, and this this game interests me just from the standpoint of the stars. Like, I want to get Giannis. If I get Giannis, I want to get Embiid. If I get Embiid, I want to get Giannis. So both these guys are would be high priorities on my list, and try to find a way to fit two of these guys. If I'm paying up like this, getting two of these guys in there, and especially if there's going to be like, especially if you got like Holiday going to be ruled out again, Giannis might become the best player on the slate. Like the last few games against the 76ers, he's just been almost getting a triple double pretty much in his whole career, pretty much every single game. Like it's just crazy looking at it right now from the last three seasons: 21-13-8, 40-14-6, 32-11-9, 31-16-4, 24-14-7, 27-16-6, 32-15-5. Take the over and rebound tomorrow, whatever it is, and you might get it and get that early if you can, because he's getting over this number amount of rebounds. But Giannis has just been on a tear. He might be the best spend up on this slate from that perspective. And what he's been able to do against the 76ers has been crazy. I think he'd be better on DraftKings because of the triple double bonus, but he still works on both sites. And could give you easily a 75 spot and be someone that you might need. And on FanDuel, he's too cheap at 11.5.
I know there's nobody on earth that can really guard Giannis, but the Sixers really have no deterrent for him. I mean, you throw PJ Tucker or Tobias at him. Tucker's your best bet, but you're giving up, you know, 5 inches and, you know, 60 pounds probably without looking, and it's just gross. So Giannis historically dominates Philly, so I don't mind that whatsoever. Jrue Holiday has been really good the last 4 weeks. He hasn't really been playing a ton of minutes, but again, like Eastern Conference clash, if this game's close, I could see all the studs playing a ton on Friday night ESPN game, by the way. Over the last 4 weeks, Jrue Holiday is averaging 49 DK points per 36 minutes. So, like, quietly, Drew's been just smashing as well. So, definitely don't just X Jrue Holiday out of the player pool thinking he doesn't have a ceiling, because I don't think he'll have much resistance if he plays, you know, going up against Tyrese Maxey on the other side of the ball there, or whoever they're going to throw at him.
Yeah, definitely. If Jrue Holiday plays, this makes this a little bit more complicated. Well, not even more complicated, because it's just them two. I would still prioritize Giannis, especially on FanDuel at 11, since Giannis is 11.5. Drew's at 8.2, so he's someone I would definitely use in tournaments for sure. And if I'm playing Jrue Holiday, I might, like you said, want to use those ancillary guys like Tyrese Maxey to run it back with, Tobias Harris, or even Joel Embiid on that side to run it back with. I think this is a slate where you can do mini game stacks, and it's going to probably benefit you and bring you to the top, because you need these games to be competitive to get to the top today. So if he does play, I definitely don't mind running it back with some of those main guys on Philly.
Matisse Thybulle getting some burn. Man, he is tough to play in an 11 gamer though, but you know, he might have a 3 to 5 steal game every once in a while. If I'm playing single entry, I'm not playing Matisse. I'm not playing PJ Tucker. No. I like the studs in this one. Tobias Harris never does it for me. Whenever like Joel's in and Maxey with his new role, like I just kind of X Tobias out. I just, if he goes for 7X and hits his ceiling, I might get struck by lightning. So I'm okay with getting rid of Tobias Harris.
Yeah, Tobias is a I think he plays pretty well in these matchups, so I don't mind it. I'm not going to be someone that's a high priority, but I think he makes for an excellent GPP play. That's about it. Like I would try to run a tight pool today. So if I'm running a really, really, really strict and tight pool, I might X him out, but he might also be in it just from the, it just depends on how the lineups are looking and how I'm feeling about it. Like 7-2 is a steep price to pay on FanDuel, and on DK, his price is coming in at 7-1. So about the same price. You need him to get 40 to 45 on that position and at that price. He definitely is capable of it, but I don't know if he will.
Orlando and Chicago. At least we have some solidified injury news with Banchero, who's out for a week plus. Wendell Carter is probable. He's all the way up at 78 on DK. Franz Wagner quietly maybe making a bid for most improved player this year. He's up to 6,900. Bol Bol getting some serious burn. Like, he's definitely not X-buttoned at 6,500. I mean, I know Chicago's a bit of a tough matchup. Same for Jalen Suggs coming off a really nice game. That's the thing, Dre. I mean, there's no Banchero. Cole Anthony is also out. And, of course, Markel Fultz is out. So, you know, I don't love the Magic, but I think if I'm going to play them in a multi-enter type build, and maybe I'll talk more about this tomorrow, like, I only want them with pieces of Chicago on the other side, I think.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Bol Bol's price has come up. I don't know how much I'm going to get to him. It just really depends on everything else. He's just a skilled player, though, like really, really, really skilled. So he's someone that interests me a lot. But Mo Bamba's also there, too, at 5K, especially if Wagner is if Wendell Carter is out. And if I would he's probable, so he probably will play. So I don't know how much Wendell Carter, how much Mo Bamba will still play, which I expect him to play a little bit. But Mo Bamba makes for an interesting, I think, tournament play, even at 5K, possibly. But Bol Bol would be the main big besides Wendell Carter. And it is a revenge spot for him because he used to play for Chicago, too, for Wendell Carter. So I might like him a little bit, possibly, if he plays. Wagner is definitely the pretty much the primary ball handler, so I love him in tournaments today. And like you said, running it back with someone on the other side, I think would definitely be the way to go, especially with Zach LaVine being too cheap because of his injury, him being with his knee on the season, and not really having explosive games like he was last year consistently, and DeMar DeRozan is as well, being at 8K. So these guys all are in a great spot, and I would definitely use this as a game stack type of situation here for sure.
Yeah, those prices on the Bulls are nice, but just really not seeing the ceiling. I mean, LaVine is probably my favorite play on the Chicago side. I'm not going out of my way to prioritize anybody on Chicago. How about OKC and Memphis?
Woo!
SGA is almost 10K on DraftKings. We got a 9.9. He's almost there. What does this man have to do to be 10K? He's gone from 53, 36, 63, 59, 62 DK points his last five. He's shooting the ball 20-plus times a game. His usage is through the roof. He gets peripherals. He plays in a lot of garbage time. He might not run to the damn whistle, but, I mean, SGA is just keeping OKC in games for the most part by himself. And here we are, and he's still not 10K, Dre. Why not?
Yeah, well, when you talk about the most improved player, he might have this on lock. He should be in the MVP conversation as well. He's just been playing so well. He's someone you have to think about playing every single night. Especially like he's putting the legal notice that he has arrived. He's here to win and put Oklahoma City back on the map. Even though I think that I would have thought they would have, waited maybe a little bit less like mental next year and try to get Victor Wembanyama. But I mean, like, Shai is just a fantastic player on the slate, especially in a pace-up matchup with what, the second highest total on the slate? The second highest total on the slate against Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. So I love Shai here. I would not even expect for him to put a triple double up. So 9.9K on DK is a fine price to pay for him. I'll pay that for him. He's worth it. I definitely would run it back on the other side with Ja. And maybe even Jaren Jackson. It's kind of weird to say that, especially with his second game back, but 25 minutes, I could, in 25 minutes and at 5.6K on DK, I could see myself playing him. So I love that. I love the call of playing Shy today, as well as, like I said, Jaren Jackson and Dylan Brooks on the other side with Ja Morant. but Shai is the main priority for sure. I don't mind Giddy as well, but Giddy is just I don't know. It's hard for me to play him when I want to play Shai because I feel like I don't want to play them together, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. I love the Jaren Jackson idea. Hopefully he plays like 30 minutes and he has that blocks and steals upside. He also is one of the most infuriating NBA players to roster because he doesn't know how to play defense. As much as he racks up those stats, he's a foul machine. But you got to play the ceiling. Not many other better spots than to do it against Oklahoma City. So I'm with you. Ja is a usage monster. No Desmond Bane. I love the Ja call. I love Ja on Friday. I cannot pay $6,400 for Dylan Brooks. I just can't do it. If that's like what would burn me on Friday's slate, that's fine. And take my money, light it on fire. I don't care. I love the Jaren Jackson call like you talked about. One guy I'm willing to go back to who's probably off the radar is Steven Adams, who was in foul trouble and you know was pretty bad early on against the Pelicans earlier this week. But Brandon Clark had the game of his season, and they kind of just kept him in with the hot hand. That situation could go one of two ways. Maybe they want to see a little more of Clark, or maybe Adams plays 25, 30 minutes. And we've seen some crazy games with Steven Adams earlier this year. So I would keep both guys in the player pool potentially. Just I wouldn't play them together. They negatively correlate.
Yeah, and I agree with that. That Steven Adams call is a great call. 53 on FanDuel, and he is 50. He's what, 53 on DK as well. So I love that call. He definitely has the upside for a big spot here, especially being more of a bigger guy, going to be able to get the rebounds, get the putbacks, get the little dump offs from Ja Morant. So he is an excellent tournament play where you can see him getting fit, where I can see him getting like 50 on the slate and going like 2% owned.
Tell you what, it'll take up a lot of your salary, and we'll have to see what value is open tomorrow night. But two really interesting game stack ideas between Embiid and Drew, or I don't even know how you'd make Embiid and Giannis fit. You'd have to go really scrubsy. But, you know, SGA and Ja, or SGA and Steven Adams or something like that as a little run back piece could be really interesting for sure. So Memphis playing at the 7th highest pace and Oklahoma City at number 8. So could be a little bit of a track meet here, Dre.
Yeah.
Let's go on to the next game, Houston and Indy. And let's see. Houston is kind of average in pace. Indiana is 11th. So, you know, not a total drag it out game. And in fact, I think they'll run a little bit, my opinion. Tyrese Halliburton has been fantastic. He is up to 9,200. Actually, his price came down $100. But at this price and this matchup, I think this guy has one of the highest floors on the damn slate. Like, I would have no problem playing him in cash games and in tournaments. You know, he played 32 minutes at 48.5 DK points against Charlotte. If this guy plays anything close to 40 minutes, he has 60-point upside. What a matchup Houston is. I love Halliburton on Friday.
I definitely do too. This game is the highest total, I think, on the slate. I think it's a perfect spot for Halliburton against Houston. So he would be sort of one to target as well as guys like Miles Turner, Buddy Hield, Benedict Mathurin. Those pretty much are the main guys I would.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Look to get to. I'll even throw Jalen Smith and Isaiah Jackson here because they're good point per minute guys. And you can see him having an upside game and being at that cheap price where they could be needed on a state like this. So I don't mind that, but what I would do is make sure I set a rule where Jackson Smith and Miles Turner are not in the same lineup at all. So that would be my little rule for them. But I definitely love the Indy side and playing them pretty much just those main guys from there and definitely running it back on the other side with a few of these guys from Houston.
Tyrese Haliburton opened up at 10.5 assists on FanDuel. I'm looking at it right now. I haven't seen that number from pretty much anybody in a very long time. So that is pretty cool. Not only is he leading the league in assists, he's leading the league in potential assists by over 2 potential assists per game. So is it crazy that this line's at 10.5 and my immediate reaction is, man, this thing's a track meet. He's dishing out at least 11, but I got to think this through a little more.
Yeah, it's not that crazy to think about. Like, he's had good games, if I'm correct, against this team. So I probably would take that line, honestly. I would just look a little bit and see how likely it is to hit, but he's only had one game where he's had like 10 plus assists against Houston, from what I'm looking at here. But I think this is a different Indiana team. He has more opportunity where he can definitely get assists with Buddy Hield and Benedict Mathurin being his wing guys. So I love it. I don't mind at all. It just depends on how much also he's scoring too. So I would take that. I would look at that as well.
What's your thoughts on Miles Turner? Are you getting sticker shock or are you interested?
I would still play him. It's getting up there though, it really is. But I think 7.3 is cheaper on FanDuel. 7.8, but 7.8 on FanDuel might be a good price because to the steals and blocks upside he has, especially in this matchup, along with getting the double double. I think he's a great tournament play. I think that's probably what I would just put it at. Not a high priority, but someone I would probably just leave in my player pool and leave it from there. But I would not be getting a lot to. I'll probably just be getting more to a guy like – I'll probably just be getting to more of a guy like Benedict Mathurin. I think Benedict is a great, great, great play. He's actually one of the, like, I guess the league – people, a lot of people in the NBA are voting him as like the rookie of the year currently. I think he is right now. Since, you know, Banchero's been out for a little bit now. And that's all it takes is just for you to be out a little bit and you can lose that. That's the number one spot. So Mathurin, I think, is an excellent tournament play. And I don't even mind that, like I said, taking some shots with Jalen Smith. So Jalen Smith or Jackson. Jackson at 3.9 on DK, I think, is very, very interesting, though. So I would consider them and probably put them a little bit above Turner just from a price perspective.
Yeah, Miles Turner is averaging 18, 11, and 3 blocks. His per 36 numbers are 22, 11, and almost 4 blocks. And every game that he's played at least 30 minutes in this year, which is only 4 of 8, which I guess is 50% when you think about it that way, he's gone for 46, 31, 54, and 62 DK points. Jeez. His worst game was against Miami, so... Man, you want to talk about another guy who's throwing the bid in for most improved? Now, he's probably not going to win it because, you know, you talk about SGA and he's just been out of this world. But Miles Turner, maybe figuring out how to stay on the court a little bit, not pull a Jaren Jackson Jr. every night. He was like the 1B to Jaren Jackson for a couple years in terms of fouling out, I feel like.
Yeah, he definitely was for sure. So that's an interesting stat. Yeah, he's been balling. This has been balling out of control lately.
Yeah, you know what? I'm looking at it right now. He's setting a career high in usage, which, you know, makes sense, I guess, when, you know, Duarte's been out and You know, Indy got rid of a couple other pieces there the last couple seasons. And here we are. It's the Miles Turner era in Indianapolis. So, anyway, yeah, Halliburton, like Turner. On the Houston side, Kevin Porter Jr. is truly questionable for Friday's game. That could open some things up. I don't feel great about paying $6,500 for Jalen Green. You know, he's had some really nice games, you know, in the 40s, pushing 50, but I feel like that's where he should be priced. I think that's fine, though. What are your thoughts on Jalen Green?
I like his price. I think $6,500 is a great price on DK for him, and on both sides, actually. So I don't mind it at all, because he still has the upside. He, like, that's where he should be at, so you get, like, 40, 45, but he definitely has the upside for 50, 55. Especially if this game turns into a track meet with no defense, really. So I don't mind it, especially if he gets hot as well. So he would be someone I want to consider rostering. Sengun would be, and possibly, I got to look into this more, but Jabari Smith might be someone I might be have some interest in.
Yeah, if Kevin Porter doesn't play, this becomes one of the games I'd like to target more than most others, I feel like. Let's see here. Yeah, Porter hasn't missed a ton of time, but Jalen Green, let's see, it's a small sample size, but in 75 minutes this season without Kevin Porter, Jalen Green has a 34%. We like that. So definitely keep an eye on Kevin Porter news. See what kind of a value or other place here could open up. And we will keep moving along here on this 11 gamer. We got five more games to cover. And this is getting really interesting with the Denver Nuggets. We have Jokic out, and we have Jamal Murray out as well. Michael Porter coming off an absolute stinker against the Knicks. 1 for 8 from the floor. 5 entire real points. And by the way, Aaron Gordon's also questionable. We're going to have a borderline skeleton crew here for Denver. You know, Bruce Brown would be popping off the charts if Gordon's out as well. He's still probably going to be popping. You know, Bones Highland should get some run. He's put up some points in some limited time as well. And Caldwell Pope should play a lot too. But, you know, for me, I'm most interested in, obviously, Michael Porter. I'm okay about the crap game he had. I'm letting that go. It's one game. Dallas is slow. They play pretty good defense, but you still have to have some interest with the big usage guys being out. It starts with Michael Porter, and for me, I like Bones Highland. I think he's, you know, Caldwell Pope and Bruce Brown are like sidecar pieces, not crazy usage. They might get hot and shoot well, but Bones Highland is going to get his when he's on the court. He's going to be aggressive, and he's going to make something happen here. So for me, it's MPJ and Bones Highland on Denver. Looking at it.
I definitely – those two would be the main priorities for sure, without a doubt. I still think you have to consider a guy like Bruce Brown just from the standpoint of he can – with these guys being out, he's going to have to play the minutes. He's going to take some shots. He's going to have to rebound, get some assists. He's going to have to do all the little dirty work. So, and if he can still do that and at that price, at his price, and give you one of those games where he has possibly, you know – like 3 or 4 steals and a couple blocks and some rebounds and some assists and like 10 to 12 points or maybe even 15, he might be in for a night where he's having like 45, 50 fantasy points or something like that, especially on DK on FanDuel. So I think that he's someone you have to consider. He would be more of a priority. It would be more so just those three guys. KCP is more of a just a spot-up shooter, so I would be more or less inclined to get him and just go, especially on a big set like this. So I think I'm just targeting just mainly those three guys from that side and then going from there, not really playing with anyone else.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like the Bruce Brown call, that now that you talked me through it. With how slow Dallas plays, I just feel dirty playing all three of those guys. I don't think I'd play three of them. No. I could see two of them. I could play two of them.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely never play all three of them together. Just definitely get like two of them in your lineup. I think it's fine. Because this game could be a blowout. But even in a blowout, Bones Highlands is young enough where they probably might let him run. And MPJ, maybe they might not let him run because of his back. And they want to make sure he's healthy more so than anything for the end of the season. But Bones, I definitely can see the upside where he'd be running. So if I had to rank in order, it would be Bones 1, MPJ 2, and then Bruce Brown 3.
Do you remember when Spencer Dinwiddie was the play of all plays a couple nights ago when Luka was out and fantastic matchup with Houston? He shoots 3 for 18 from the floor, 1 of 9 from three, and has 9 real points. Still at 31 fantasy points. Anyway, Luka should be back. I mean, who knows what kind of BS they could pull with Jokic and Murray sitting. I wouldn't be shocked if he's a random scratch around dinner time. I think he'll play. But God forbid Denver keeps this thing close. They've been having defensive issues all season with Jokic in the fold. And now you want to put DeAndre Jordan getting 20 minutes, who Luka would just annihilate off ball screens. Like, I'm okay with paying 12-7 for Luka if he's a go and just seeing what happens. He's been so good this year, Dre. I'm okay with Luka. It's a crazy number. We haven't seen 13K since, like, peak Westbrook era a couple years ago, but Luka almost deserves it.
Luka definitely almost deserves it. It scares me not rostering him more than anything, just because I know he can get there. I know he can do that. I know that the likelihood of it is very, very, very high. It's just, do I want to go there? Like, 12K is expensive. Like, who is more of a better play, like him or Giannis at that point? Is what I would be looking at. But Luke has shown that he's just on one this year. I think he's just on a mission to try to, you know, win MVP. So he would be someone I would definitely target. But if I am playing Luka, I am definitely running it back, because that means his game is close. Because I want him to be pushed to get that upside game and to get that ceiling spot, especially at 12-7. So that's definitely what I'm doing. But I can't see myself playing anyone else. I faded Spencer Dinwiddie that night. I didn't play him at all. So I'm glad I didn't. But I think Spencer Dinwiddie, you can play him. He's a GPP play, but at 7-4, I would not personally. Neither would I play Christian Wood, because we're not going to see the minutes like that again unless I think Luka is kind of out. I wish they would play him this amount of minutes more consistently, because I think he is more valuable to them playing him that much. But that's on Jason Kidd, and I'm only just a regular guy, not the coach.
Might get decent ownership on Luka. Embiid coming off a 100-point game, and before that was a 70-point game. And it's a Giannis slate. So curious to see what Luka comes in at. You make a good point. Definitely want to pair Luka with somebody from Denver. And, you know, having that correlation could really benefit you. I think that's a great call as well. I don't really have interest in anybody else from Dallas, do you?
No.
How about Boston and New Orleans? And our guy Jason Tatum seems to always go overlooked no matter whatever the circumstance is. He is up at 10.8. Marcus Smart's questionable. Jaylen Brown is 8,500. You know what Jaylen Brown feels like to me? He feels like Drew Holiday. Like, he's right in that price range. Pushes 50 points once in a while. Rarely gets you that 50-point game. But, like, if you said, hey, Luch, I really like Jaylen Brown tonight, I wouldn't, you know, I can't argue with you at all.
And that's exactly what I was going to say to you. I like Jaylen Brown tonight.
I can't argue with it.
8,200 is, like, that's a sweet spot for him. I feel like that's a good price on FanDuel. 85 even on DK is still a great price, I think. He's just like that spot where, like, I would expect him to get 40, especially in this matchup against the New Orleans Pelicans here, who've been playing really well and could be without Zion. And also, you know, Boston could be without Marcus Smart again, Brogdon as well. So I think that matters a lot. So I think we would have to wait on that news to find out for sure. Because if they're without those guys, Brown's usage goes up even more than what it already is. And I think that's the way to attack the Pelicans is more so on the wings. So Brown and Tatum would be guys I would definitely have a lot of interest in. Brown would be number one. Tatum followed by that, but then I also would make that would also make to me like Derek White more interesting. I like Grant Williams in this spot. That's an excellent GPP play because I think cause especially with Larry Nance being probably playing a lot more minutes too with Zion questionable, and I think even with Zion playing, I mean Zion healthy, he was still out there running playing some minutes. So I love playing like a guy like Grant Williams as well today and see what happens from there. But that's really mainly it. I wouldn't probably get no one else. Like, if all the guards are out, maybe a little bit of Peyton Pritchard because we would have to see his minutes increase. But that's as far as it would go.
It really is a two-man show for Boston. Tatum ranks 10th in the league in usage. Jaylen Brown is 13th in usage rate. So it is Tatum. It is Brown. And you know what? No one's going to play Jaylen Brown on this slate. No one's going to play him. You tell me someone is going to be low-owned. He scores 25 points per game on average. Decent matchup against New Orleans. And I'll take my shots at him. 8,500 is a super fair price. Haven't seen him go for 50 a lot, but we know the upside is there, clearly. Decent price on Al Horford, too. I don't hate him at 5,700 on DK. But the big news is Zion. Is Zion in? Is Zion out? I know Boston plays good defense. They play slow. But you're right. They could be without their two best perimeter defenders in Brogdon and Smart. So there could be a little wiggle room for McCollum or Brandon Ingram or, dare I say, Jonas Valanciunas, who's rarely playing, to pick up some uptick in usage if Zion's out.
Yeah, definitely for sure, and that's and that's the one thing that I would want to pay attention to for sure to see. I think the reports are that, well, they just said it's questionable, but if Zion is playing, then I definitely have interest in Zion. But if he doesn't play, I mean, maybe even if he does play, I don't mind BI. BI is at that price of 8K, where I think he can still get you the points he needs to get on the slate, and I think he definitely can sell the upside with Zion in or out. CJ McCollum would just become the guy that you want to look at more, I think, if Zion is in or out, because that takes away more ball handling, and CJ McCollum I think becomes more aggressive significantly when Zion is in or out. So if Zion is out, which I kind of hope he is in a way. Hope he's healthy, but just saying, because I'm the price for CJ McCollum, 8,300 is a good one. I would love to play him that there because I can see him having the upside in this game and putting on a show here. But also probably the main two guys if I want to look to. Maybe Larry Nance a little bit. I would have to dig into that a little bit more. I don't mind Jonas Valanciunas. But then also that brings us to the other side. I would like Al Horford if Jonas is going to be playing a lot of minutes too. So I guess it would just depend on what happens and see how things shake out.
Let's go to Phoenix and Utah. Utah plays at the fourth fastest pace in the league. Chris Paul is questionable. At this point, I'm just going to assume he's not playing because he hasn't played in 11 days now. So if Chris Paul doesn't play, I want a lot of Booker, I want a lot of Campaign, and I want enough Bridges in my player pool here. Campaign's been great. Devin Booker would probably have like the highest floor on the slate out of anybody above 9K. And against Utah, who this isn't the Rudy Gobert lockdown Jazz, they're having track meets. It's like an AAU game. They're just running up and down. And I would definitely prioritize Booker and Payne and have enough Bridges and maybe a little DeAndre in my builds. And I would be totally happy with that. Hopefully we get some Chris Paul news late tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I think that is kind of very, very, very important because if Chris Paul is out, I want to play all the Devin Booker I could possibly handle and maybe some DeAndre Ayton. Payne's price is coming up. I think he's still someone that we could look at today on this slate on both sites. But that's really think that's really it. I'm not going to be trying to really get to anyone else here. I just want to see what happens with Chris Paul, because that's going to be the determining factor on what I do with this team. Because if he is in, I'm not playing probably nobody at all. I just will just cross this side off. Might regret it, but I think that that's the way to go. If anyone, maybe Ayton, because I think Ayton is just a little bit too cheap for what he brings to the table and what his upside can be, but that's really it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And Chris Paul not playing just opens the door for all the campaign minutes. Campaign's a usage guy. We know he wants to get his shots up there. So it's not like he gets a significant usage bump or anything. It's the minutes for campaign. And boy, he's only 6K on FanDuel. If that is actually accurate, he's a smash play at 6K against Utah.
Yeah, he definitely is for sure. So like that's why Chris Paul news I think is so important. And even on the other side, like Markkanen might be a guy I don't mind running playing, but I don't know how high of a priority he would be for me. He's been coming down to earth a little bit, I guess. I guess the game plans are starting to catch him and prep for him a lot more. So I don't know how much I would want to get to him, but I definitely would not be interested in knowing from this game as a whole without that news from Chris Paul.
I think you could punt Damian Lee on DraftKings, but Torrey Craig is the interesting one for tournaments. He's kind of in that mid 4K range, but playing 30 minutes the last week or so, and you know he has 30 point upside, you know, filling up the stat sheet a little bit here. Torrey Craig is interesting for some value as of right now, anyway.
Yeah, he is, but that I just know myself. I'm not going to get to him, but he is definitely for guys who want to pay down for sure.
Yeah, for me, it's campaign, Booker, Bridges, you know, basically what we talked about. For you, I'll make this simple, at least on DraftKings for Utah. I don't want anybody on this team outside of maybe a couple Kelly Olynyk shares. I'm totally fine with hitting the X button. I don't have the FanDuel prices up in front of me yet, but on DK, a little bit of Olynyk maybe. Other than that, I'm good.
Yeah, Kelly is 5'3". If he's going to be playing 30 minutes, there has to be some interest in, but other than that, that's really it. Not going to really play no one else. Like I said, maybe Lowry Markkanen, but that's it.
Yep. I mean, Clarkson's FanDuel price is okay.
Yeah. I forgot about him, too. And he's starting.
Mike Conley will pop in all the models. He's in that, you know, 5-6 range on FanDuel. He might, you know, I don't mind keeping him in the pool, but I just, he's one of those guys I never play. And he never seems to kill me.
Yeah.
Not a bad price, though, but I just probably wouldn't play Conley personally on Friday.
I personally agree with you. I'm just going to take it for that and leave it alone.
Knicks and the Warriors. Julius Randle coming off a 34 real point game. Nice little pace-up spot for the Knicks here. Mitchell Robinson is doubtful. Isaiah Hartenstein chalk busted earlier this week. Imagine that. That never happens. Isaiah Quickley has been balling out. 4,400, though. Didn't play well against Denver. We had a nice little game against Utah. And then at OKC a couple games ago, early in the week or last weekend, he had 41 DK points. So interesting stuff here. RJ Barrett, 6,100. Not playing well whatsoever here. If Robinson's out, I do have interest in Randle because he'll likely see some time at the five, and Golden State can definitely get beat inside.
Yeah, I love – this is another game I think is really interesting. I like it a lot from this both sides perspective. Steph Curry, I think, interests me with him scoring going off for 50. So that's someone I think I don't want to waste and not go with. So it's high priority. I love the Julius Randle call. I think he's an excellent play today. 8-4, I think, is – yeah, 8-4, people might not want to play 8-4 for Julius Randle, but he is going to pay off that price probably. So an 8K on 8-4 on DK, 8-4, me and 8K on FanDuel, I think it's a great price, perfect price for him. He's going to see a lot of probably Draymond Green defense, which is fine. But the switching that they're going to do, Randle can still take advantage of on the boards. And if he plays like the old Julius Randle, hustling, getting boards, then we might be in for a monster game from him. So I don't mind that play, and I love it. I also do – like the RJ Barrett thing is a little bit iffy. I would play one of them. It's either Randle or Barrett having a good game. Neither both of them together. So I would never pair them two together. But I'm on the Randle train like you are. So that would be more of the way I would go with. For sure. Hartenstein, I don't know what to do with this guy. Like, I really don't. Like, first of all, his minutes are always split. Like, he hasn't really had a monster game since he played Boston when he played 38 minutes. It was in the starting lineup. Before that, everything else has been mediocre, and his prices just continue to go up where he's at now 5.8K. I would probably not play him just because of that price, especially on DK. I think that price is just too much. 5-2, possibly, but he's not going to be someone I'm going to be looking to try to get in my lineup for sure. I would just probably maybe take some shots if, like, say, for instance, like a Jericho Sims, if he starts and plays. With him playing even limited minutes, we could see him give you that amount of fantasy points. And 3-7, it could be very, very valuable in the slate. And he's definitely a different GPP play that people probably might not be that high on. So don't mind that call at all.
Steph Curry is having a historic start to his season, and he's my favorite tournament play on Friday. I wouldn't say no one's going to play him. His ownership will definitely be kept in check. The Knicks matchup carries that defensive stigma. But they're like bottom third in the league in defensive efficiency this season, and the Knicks are playing at an average pace with Jalen Brunson. Steph Curry, at age 34, is currently averaging his most points per game, shooting his highest clip from the floor in his career, and he is averaging the most rebounds he's ever taken down, and he's still averaging almost 6.5 assists. I mean – it's an MVP caliber campaign for Curry, who's 12-1 on DraftKings. I've been kicking the tires. I'm putting a ticket in, and I talked about it a couple days ago, and I haven't done it. But Curry is just balling out. And listen, Dre, I'm wrong a lot. Everybody in this industry is wrong a lot, right? They just, you know, no one ever wants to admit it. But, you know, there's a butt coming. I touted the crap out of Curry the other day with our premium stuff against Phoenix. I was like, listen, Curry's matchup proof. If he's going to play 35 minutes, he's going to do damage. And I don't think he's any different against the Knicks here. And if you listen to Chief, because I've been doing a lot of shows with Chief, and I don't mean you, I mean anyone in general, he always talks about the Knicks kind of struggle against point guards, especially this season. I love Stephen Curry tonight, Dre. Am I crazy? Am I delusional at 1 o'clock in the morning here?
No, you're definitely not. I think Steph is a very, like I said before, I think he's an excellent GPP play. I think in the last three games, the Knicks are giving up at least 40% from three, if I'm correct.
Wow.
3-point percentage. And they're in the middle of the pack as far as for the season. Steph Curry, he's going to take them threes. And if they're going under, he's shooting. You have to double team him, trap him, get him out, get the ball out of his hands, but make someone else beat you. But I can't really see that happening. Steph needs also to play the minutes for them to just to win right now, just because the way everyone else has been playing on that team. So I love Steph today. I think he's a fantastic GPP play that no one's going to really be on that much of. And it's a late night hammer where if you're right there and approaching first, he can put you over the top and win you the tournament.
So he's a fun play on top of everything else. He's fun. Yeah. Fun Friday, right?
Yeah.
Nah, but with all the studs we talked about, Luka, Giannis, Embiid coming off historic games, you know, you throw Ja in there against OKC, Curry is probably going to be an afterthought. He's probably going to be an afterthought. I don't really want to play anybody else from Golden State, though. I would have a very small pool of players from both sides in this game. It would be Curry, personally. That's probably it. And then, you know, your typical cast of characters from the Knicks, but more so Julius Randle than the other guys, I guess. I like Jalen Brunson in the pace-up spot. I don't mind the price, but, like, I could just see him getting tired. I mean, this is my non-analytical take. It's him having to fly off ball screens all game trying to keep pace with Curry, you know?
I get that, but I low-key kind of like Wiggins today.
Okay.
I know his price is expensive, but I low-key like him today just from the standpoint of I think he's done well against the Knicks career-wise, 17-6 and 1 assist in 13 games versus them. Games since he's been with the Golden State Warriors, he's played no less than 15 points, has no less than 5 rebounds. So, like, I can see some upside there. Only needs is a couple of blocks and steals, and then he's on his way to having a 45, 50-point game. So, I have some interest in Andrew Wiggins today. That's probably would be my, I guess, I think an excellent GPP play. I think Clay's too cheap at 5'8", so he would be someone I want to play and look at, too. I think you mentioned Quickley, too, before. I like Quickley a lot. On the Knicks side, I just want to mention that briefly. And Draymond is a tournament play, so I'll have him in my player pool as well, and so is Jordan Poole. So my main priority would be probably Steph Curry, Wiggins, and GPPs. Well, both of them in GPPs, but Steph Curry overall. And then the rest would just be fringe GPP plays. But if I'm playing them, it's definitely within game stacks.
It's worth noting that James Wiseman got sent down to the G League after Golden State played the Spurs. And then the next game, Anthony Lamb logged a real 24 minutes. And what I mean by a real 24 minutes is it wasn't blowout time. He played meaningful fourth quarter minutes. He also ironically logged exactly 24 minutes against the Spurs. But that was blowout run. Mm-hmm. Then he played real minutes. So we got another weird guy. Not a weird guy, but a name we're not accustomed to throwing in the player pool, and Anthony Lamb, but I think it's kind of viable.
He could be. I can see it for sure. Might not be someone I might be interested in because if I had to choose, they're both the same price, and if I had to choose between him or Jericho Sims, I might want to get Sims. I think he's more of an active player, but I definitely don't mind that call at all. Another interesting play that you talked about is Dante DiVincenzo. Depending on how many minutes he's getting, if he's getting a little bit more run, I have interest in him, but I know his run hasn't been consistent lately. But if Kuminga's out, DiVincenzo maybe might be in for a little bit of minutes. We'll see. It just really depends on the slate and how things are going.
Detroit and the Lakers. I'm looking at the current the game just ended. The Clippers beat the Pistons. I guess it's worth noting that Detroit's on the second leg of a back-to-back on Friday. But Jaden Ivey played almost 40 minutes. I mean, Cade Cunningham's out, so other guys are going to get their shots. Bogdanovich had a 26-point game. Marvin Bagley was pretty popular, and he had a clunker. What do you do with any of these Pistons? Do you have any interest here?
I want to against this. I mean, the defense has been, I guess, Lakers have had the best defense in the league, supposedly, but I don't know if I really want to play any of these guys. Like it's kind of hard. This is a big enough state where maybe I might not need them, but I might have some interest in a guy like Bogdanovich and Jaden Ivey just from a standpoint, just because of the fact that Cade Cunningham's being out, usage to go around. We got Stewart out as well. So that opens up a lot of things, but just those two guys, I think mainly would be it for me. I don't mind Marvin Bagley a little bit, but that's really it. And also, we don't know if Bagley's even going to play on a back to back just because of he's coming off of an injury. I would hope he does, but if he doesn't, then you have more value on Detroit because you have no Stewart. And then you have no Bagley at all either. So, like you would have to probably consider playing a guy like Jalen Duren, who would be like 3'7". Then you have to like think, hey, maybe I could play this guy here in a front court against them. But other than that, that's really it. I'm not going to really have a lot of interest in this side. Livers possibly even as well, but like I said, I'm not gonna try to get no one on Detroit besides mainly Ivy or Bogdanovich and just see how the news falls from there.
Doesn't it just seem like Anthony Davis could go nuclear, especially if LeBron sits? Wasn't LeBron on Amazon Prime Thursday night? Maybe he's busy. Maybe he just won't play Friday. He is questionable, and Anthony Davis is actually probable despite the Q tag. Anthony Davis could have a field day. Marvin Bagley's not screaming defense at me, and you know Durant has like, if LeBron's out, this could be a late night hammer Friday night to kick off the weekend between Steph Curry against the Knicks and AD potentially against Detroit. And you know, if LeBron sits in, and the Lakers aren't great either. It could be a fairly competitive game. I'm not really concerned about blowout risk here. Are you?
I'm not really. I think definitely AD becomes interesting if LeBron sits. 10-2 is a little bit of a steep price, but I think it is worth it for sure. I definitely want 60 though from him. And so that's something I definitely would need. I like Westbrook a little bit, especially if LeBron doesn't play. 7-8. I know it's getting up there, but he's performed better without Westbrook. I know though we have to look out because we do have some of these Lakers guys coming back now and being healthy. We got Dennis Schroeder, I think, who's coming back today. And then we also have who is the center? Who's the center for the Lakers that they got in the offseason from the Wizards in free agency? And Bryant. Yep, he's coming back as well. So I don't know how many minutes these guys are going to play. And these guys are supposed to be key rotation guys on their team this year. So I would just be interested in seeing that and see how much they play. Because they might jump right into it, especially if their conditioning is good and play like 20-something minutes. So their rotation could be a little bit different. But that's not going to affect a guy like AD, a guy like Russell Westbrook. So those are the guys I definitely don't mind playing. And then I would probably see how the rest of it all shapes out and go from there, unless you want to take some chances on some of these guys.
AD coming off a game where he had a 38% usage against Brooklyn. So maybe things were finally starting to come together for him. Definitely going to want some of that news. And, man, my two favorite tournament plays are the late-night hammers. Nothing wrong with Luka. Nothing wrong with Giannis. Nothing wrong with Embiid. Definitely nothing wrong with Ja at 10-5. But I think you might get some decent ownership on AD and Curry on Friday. Man, this is going to be a wild slate, Trey.
Yeah, definitely it's going to be for sure. I actually like it. I'm going to play like a nice little like 4 to 5 lineups and see how I do. I can see myself though taking this down because I have a lot of ways to get different, and I'm sure my opinions are going to change a little bit when it comes to the afternoon and when we get on crunch time. But for the most part, I think they might stay the same.
Let's get out of here. Anything else before we head out for the weekend?
No, just pay attention to news. I think that that's going to be very, very, very important throughout the day. And play whoever you like in GPPs. Don't let us steer you away. But I'm also here if you do have any questions. Just inbox me on Twitter at Drizzy26_DFS. I'm there to answer any question you might have.
Yeah, have a great weekend, everybody. Hopefully this helped jumpstart your Friday morning. We got you covered over the weekend for everything you need for pretty much every sporting event that's happening between Roto Grinders and Scores and Odds. A lot going on. You'll see us over the weekend, crunch time as usual, and all of our great programming Sunday morning leading up to NFL. But until then, stay safe, have a good weekend, and make some money. So for Dre, I'm Luch. We'll see you later.